as usual, when I begin to pray and think about a topic, this time, a few times I've had this happen before, the Lord will give me just a title and nothing else. And you can ask my husband, I wrestled with this and I studied and it was challenging to me to figure out, and then the Lord just really began to lay things on my heart. And so I'm wanting tonight to open, kind of to challenge you and give you some food for thought. And my title is The Christian and Social Media. First of all, I'd like to ask you, what is social media? Does anybody know? Don't give me a name of one. What is social media? Does anybody know? But Alex.
Anything that you share.
Okay, so you're on the right track. Basically, we're going to take two, there's two words in that phrase, obviously, and we're going to take them and look at each one. Social is to interact with people, so we're going to share information. I tell you about my grandbabies, and you tell me about your dog. Something like that. We're going to share information. The media is the instrument that we share. So, obviously, the media would be the internet currently. But I want to talk to you first. Let's go back a little bit. I always love to look at definitions and history. And so I found a few things that I thought was interesting, and hopefully you will find them interesting as well. How did we share information before we had the internet?
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth. Okay, that works. What about if they live too far away? We write them a letter. Perfect. When I was 12 years old, I met someone named Sherry, and she became probably the best friend I've ever had. And she lived in Maryland at the time. And so we wrote letters. She was very faithful. I was not. But I occasionally got the letter. But that was our social interaction if we didn't see each other at camp meeting. There's also something called the telephone. Does anybody have a landline in your house? Wow, it's not a dying thing just yet. Well, when I was finally allowed to talk to my boyfriend on the phone at age 16, our landline had something attached to it. A cord. Now, it was a long cord, and if I tried really hard, I could stretch it into my bedroom. But God help me if my father caught me. And so, generally, I was having social interaction with my boyfriend on a phone where the whole family could listen in. Isn't that romantic? No, it wasn't. Also, something that went along with the telephone. Does anybody in here know what a 2 or a 3-party line used to be? Any young person know what that was?
We had a 12-party line.
You had 12 people?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's
busy. Wow.
It's a busy place.
Okay, so when I grew up, we had a 3-party line. And that meant that 3 houses shared the same telephone line. So if you wanted to use the phone and you picked it up and the neighbor was on there, you had to wait. And it was kind of a strange, it would make some funny noises when you would dial in. Well, my mom, if you probably know her quite well, she did a lot of counseling on the phone. And she made the neighbor lady so mad because she wanted to use that phone and mom would be on there. So that lady, her and her husband got their own line. Then the other party, they had a business, the other family down the road, they had a business, a home business. So they got their own line and we got a private line, didn't have to pay for it. But that, obviously, that probably got interesting because if you were nibby, you could just pick the phone up and just listen to all your neighbors' conversations. And so their social interaction became, absorbing and listening. But anyway, then I think about another means of social communication, social interaction. In the 1980s, what began to become common in households?
Television.
That would have been sooner than the 80s, but let's try again. You're on the right track.
Computers.
Computers began to be more and more common in the average everyday household. We got ours, I believe, in the early 1990s. Were you about ready? So our home computer, it was so exciting because I began to email people and you could have an answer back like instantly or within just a minute or two and they would reply back and that was exciting. I want to share something with you, though, that reminds me of our first computers. Brother Steve's going to pull it up for me. Brother Alex already knows what this is, but I want the rest of you to tell me what this is.
It's a fax machine phone.
Do you have fax machines?
It's not fax.
There's an alien invasion.
Dial-up internet. So our older young people know what this is. That's what you heard every time you connected to the internet.
It was so annoying because it was so slow.
It was so annoying. If you are familiar with dial-up, how many of you wanted to watch a video with dial-up? Absolutely not. You literally could start it, hit pause, go clean your whole house, go visit the neighbors, go to church, come back, and you might have 10 minutes of a video to watch. So I just, to me, it's kind of interesting. And some of you young ones just, you can't appreciate high-speed internet today. I think we finally got high-speed internet. I was so excited. And we had, at first we had Windstream, which was, I think, Brother Alex, if I have this right, Mbps, am I saying that right? Anyway, the speed was maybe like 3 to 5. And that was awesome. And then we went to the current one we have now, which is 100. So nothing buffers. Buffering was just like our life back then. But anyway, so our social interactions have, we see how things have changed. Name me some forms of social media. MySpace. That's old, yes. What, tell me one. Snapchat. Facebook.
Instagram.
Okay.
Twitter.
Instagram, Twitter. Does anybody know, and I already told my family so they can't share. Does anybody know what was considered, is considered the first social media site? Began in 1997. Wasn't MySpace. Further back than that, MySpace was 2003. 1997, a site was started called 6 Degrees. 6 Degrees. That is the idea that we are only 6 steps from every single person in this world in our social interactions. And so it would begin, it was called 6 Degrees. You could create a profile. You could be friends with people. And that was about it. And that lasted until about 2001. Keep in mind, not everybody had the internet at that time as well. All right, the next big social media that came along, platform, was called Friendster. Friendster. Somebody's heard of that. Okay. So you could create a profile. You could upload photos and videos, and you could send messages to other users. And that was about it. Then LinkedIn came along, and it's actually still used quite often today. Does anybody know who prominently would use LinkedIn? More businesses, correct. You can upload a resume. You're going to connect with business associates. So, yes, and it's still around today. Then in 2003, the big one that you all mentioned a little bit ago, thinking it might have been the first one, MySpace. Has anybody in here ever had a MySpace account?
No.
I remember
no.
When I was on my computer,
so I thought nobody in here's had. Yes, we've got one. Okay. So, MySpace was probably the first interaction that my kids had with social media. MySpace was actually at one time the biggest, the most visited, the number one website. In 2006, it was the number one website. Again, you could have a personal profile. You could connect with your friends. You could upload videos, pictures, and something new, music. Then you could also create a blog. You could talk about what's going on in your life and write paragraphs and books. And in 2008, people began to leave MySpace for what?
Facebook.
There you go. That's 2004 is when Facebook began. Can anyone tell me what was Facebook originally created for? What was it originally begun for? It was not begun for most of you in here, just saying.
Networking?
Good guess.
Was it a government
site? Nope, good guess. I hear it over here somewhere. College students. Harvard, it was exclusively created for Harvard college students. And then they thought, well, we'll let the MIT guys, and I think there was one other college they allowed. And that was what it was begun for. And I even remember early on when my children began to have some interaction with it. And they'd say, this is for college students. Why are these little kids getting on to Facebook? But that was what it was begun as. And then in 2006, they made it available for anyone over the age of 13. Currently, it has 2.3 billion, with a B, users. However, it is starting to be called Mom Book. Why is that? They use that. So mom gets on there. Mom's using it. Mom's checking on kids. Kids don't like it. What are kids beginning to do? They're beginning to leave. They're going to Snapchat and Instagram. That is true. And so there is a little bit of history. I thought that was actually kind of interesting. Some of the social media, and only God knows what they'll be like in another 5 years. Always evolving and changing. And I want to ask you some questions. If you do have social media, why do you have it? Or if you don't have it, why do you want it? Anybody want to share? Yes. Okay, so message friends. Keep in contact with friends. Why else would you want to be have a social media profile or user? Be a user. Yes. So see what's going on. Okay. Yes, Ellie.
To see what's happening in my family.
Great way to share pictures. If grandparents live out of state, it's a great way to stay in contact. Absolutely. Any others? It don't have to be good things. It could be bad reasons why people want to. Why? Maybe some, not you, other people.
Some people stalk others.
Some people use it to stalk. This is true. Yeah. Could be a bad thing. Any other reasons? Brag. Yes, they do. I was telling my family, I was reading that in general, in real conversation, real life conversation, face to face, we tend to talk about ourselves about 30 to 40% of the time. If you talk about yourself too much, what do people generally start doing? They start tuning out. Yeah. Oh, look over there. They're giving you verbal cues that they've heard enough about you and all done. What percent do you think that goes to when we talk about ourselves in social media? It goes from 30 to 40 to 80%. We're a little bit consumed with ourselves on social media. So I have some reasons here that I wrote down, possibly, maybe why somebody would want to have a social media. It's because everybody else is doing it. I would be weird if I didn't have this. I'd be an oddball. It's good for businesses, it's good for charities, it's good for churches. We use it to update you on maybe what an event is coming or something that's on the website. So it actually can be a very beneficial tool there as well. You might get on there because you're bored. I'm just bored and I'm just going to scroll through and see what's going on. You might be on, some people might be on there because they need to vent. I am so upset and I'm going to tell the whole world about it and then I'll feel better. Yeah, okay. Is there anyone in here that's absolutely has no interest in having a social media account? Raise your hand. Sweet. Okay. All right. Does it make you right or wrong? I just think it's interesting to see the different some different opinions. Does your family have rules about social media?
Yes.
Tell me some rules your family has about social media. Juliana. Tell me your role.
I wasn't allowed to have Snapchat until like 2 months ago.
And you're 17, is that right?
16.
Okay. Katie.
I have to tell my mom that I have
Snapchat. So you have to, the mom has to know who all your friends are. Perfect. Ellie.
On Instagram, you can't follow anybody you don't like personally.
So on Instagram, you cannot follow anyone you don't personally know. These are good. Over here. Oh, Snapchat. Must save all messages. Good. Okay, Lauren.
I have to follow my mom and I have to sign into my account on my mom's phone.
All right, so mom is checking. This is good. Who else wants to share a home rule they have? Mom has the password. That is like my favorite rule. That was our rule. Of course, with my first child, she had email. Mom had the password, and I promise you, I read her emails. Trust me. But as the child showed that she was trustworthy, I began to back off. I gave her some room. I gave her some space. And guess what? I'm not checking her email today. I mean, you know, she is 31, but I don't check her email. She's fine. She's doing great. So mom has all the passwords. At our house, we had another rule. To have social media, you had to be graduated from high school. Oh. I know. But you know what? Well, I had a kind of a dual thing. First of all, I was really hoping by the time that they were graduating high school, they wouldn't care anymore. That didn't pan out so well. But sometimes we make some very immature choices. Sometimes we make some impulsive choices when we're young. And so I was kind of hoping to protect them. Maybe I was a little overboard. But I thought I'm going to go online and I want to see what other families have done. And I found one family that they would not let their children have social media until they were married. I'm like, okay, well, that one was stricter than my rule, so. All right, some other rules. Some families created what they called a social media contract with their children. So if you're going to have social media, you have to abide by these rules, and the children would sign it. And I thought, well, that's actually interesting. What did they tell their children they had to do? One of the first one was, I will keep my settings private at all times. Actually, that doesn't seem like a hard rule, but it's really important. And if you don't know how to do that, Abby's going to help me. If you don't know how to do that, have somebody help you. It's surprising sometimes. I have went on people's social media, my children, obviously, and I'll find somebody who's not their friend, and I can see everything, all their pictures, all their posts. And that means, as Jordan said, the person who's out there stalking maybe has wrong intentions, can see it too. If you have no idea what privacy settings are and you have social media, please talk to somebody that can help you. You need to set those up, make them high, so that people who do not know you cannot see things, can't see what you're doing. Some other examples that they gave. I will not post inappropriate pictures of myself. I thought that was interesting. I will not view pornography. Oh. You know, when our first few computers, we went through a few. If you're tech savvy, our first one was 8088, and you had to go into you had to hit like F8 because something wasn't quite right with it every time it booted up, and go in and change some settings. And I learned some strange things to make that thing work. But nevertheless, it seems like ransomware and spyware and adware were so much more common back then. They've got some great programs now, even built in your computer, that protect that. But it was nothing to have pop-ups come up and you didn't do anything. And sometimes they were very embarrassing. So pornography is becoming so much more easily accessible today. And I thought, well, that's interesting. The parents are saying, listen, it's going to be there. It's easy to find. You've got to promise me that if I allow you on social media, you will not go look for it. And if you accidentally find it, you'll get out right now. That's a pretty good rule. Now, here's a very good one. I understand everything I post is permanent. That was in this social media contract. Sometimes we think, oh, I put it up there and then I take it down. Nobody will ever see it again. Only the 5 people that liked it ever saw it. Do not be deceived. Did you know just because an app says your photos have been deleted does not mean that's true? Snapchat got in a lot of trouble because they were telling people, once you delete it, it's gone. And it wasn't true. And so I actually went out and I read, here's what Snapchat says. There's no guarantee your messages are deleted within a certain time frame. Snapchat also said, there may be ways to access your messages, your pictures, on your device after you've deleted them. I'm not super savvy when it comes to techie stuff, but I've had people tell me there's a way to find those pictures. You need to keep in mind, when I put it online, it's there forever. Somebody might take a screenshot of it. There's servers that back things up. There's huge servers. Do some research on these different places with technology that have large servers, and lots of your information is being saved. Be very aware of that. We can, in our impulse, and we take a goofy picture, and then later you're like, yeah, I don't really think I wanted my college recruiter and where I'm going to get a job to see that picture. Hopefully it's gone. I deleted it. So I thought that was actually interesting. Now, what we've talked about a few positives about social media, keeping in contact with our families. You can post an encouraging story. You might tell someone, hey, I appreciated that testimony you brought, and young people's, that really encouraged me. There are some positives. There's also some negatives. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit here tonight as well. Studies are showing that actually social media can make you feel depressed. You're on here and you're interacting with friends and you're supposed to be having these social contacts, and yet you're feeling depressed. Well, why? Well, sometimes you might use a filter to make you look thinner and better, and you clear everything up and make your face and your hair look nice, and people see you in real life and they're like, who are you really? You don't look anything like you did on your social media. Why do we feel like we've got to, it's like they call it creating a brand. We're creating a brand. This is Sister Sherry. She weighs 125. She has no gray hair, no lines on her face. And you see me in real life and you're like, yeah, not really. It makes people lonely. Again, you might have 500 friends. How can you be lonely if you've got 500 friends on social media? Well, you look and you go to your social media page and you see everybody's doing great. So she's got a boyfriend and here's my vacation and look at my new stuff I've bought. And you don't have a boyfriend and you didn't go on a vacation and you don't have new stuff. And you start feeling kind of depressed, kind of lonely. Sometimes people's lives are falling apart, but they'll just put, look how great I'm doing right here. Woo, everything is awesome. And it's not. There's a thing called imposter syndrome. We can be somebody we're not in social media. Or you can be who you are and somebody else is portraying themselves differently and it makes you feel less important. It makes you depressed. Cyberbullying. Who has been made fun of in real life? Raise your hand. Really, got made fun of, somebody picked on you. It hurt, didn't it? But that's one thing when it's just in a small group. But cyberbullying, and I'm sure I don't have to tell you all the stories, there's plenty of incidences where it's just got completely out of control. Name calling and rumors spreading and actually people, physical threats. And it's can be very dangerous. Body shaming has happened on social media. So there was a story, I think a few years ago, this model, Playboy model, all of course, so she's going to be, got it, everything all figured out, she thinks, and she looks great. She's working out, and she's in the gym. Has anybody heard this story? She's in the gym changing clothes, and she takes a picture of a 70-year-old woman who was changing clothes. And she posts it on her Snapchat, and she said, if I can't unsee this, you can't either. Now, first of all, I'm impressed that a 70-year-old woman is working out in the gym. I'm just saying. And she wasn't a fat lady. She was in decent shape. But she posts this. Of course, she's facing possible jail time. She loses her membership. But it was body shaming. She was basically saying, I'm all fit over here. And look at this lady over here. And I had to see that when I got dressed today. And she posts this picture. She thought it was funny at the time. But that 70-year-old lady, I'm sure, was not laughing. That was very insulting. If that had been my mother, I'd have been furious. I'm sure her family was not happy with that. And so this model, later, she's like, oh, that was just an accident. I didn't know that that was going to share with all my friends. Nevertheless, we know that was an excuse. But sometimes body shaming on social media, there's enough stories out there to let us know that that's a possible danger. There's internet scams. And I don't have time to get all this. I had some fun ones that I'd come across.
Jose from Costa Rica, Puerto Rico has a week of free vacation for you in the Bahamas. Ooh. If you just share this one link.
There we go. I used to get emails, and I guess this has moved into social media instead. There's a Nigerian prince in Africa. He's got a couple million dollars, and he needs to get it out of the country. And if I would just help him, if I could either give him my bank account numbers or help him with his fees, he's going to give me 20% of $2 million. I mean, that's a nice amount of money. But social media is full of these types. There's phishing, there's where they actually will send you a link and try to get you to log into your account so that they'll have your logins. And that got Hillary Clinton in a lot of trouble when she was running for president a few years ago, actually her campaign manager. There's things called on the selling walls, there's scams. There'll be scams if, I know Facebook has like a Newark selling wall and they might say, I want to buy what you're selling and I'm going to give you a check for $100 more. Just if you could cash that for me and give me that $100, then you can keep the rest. Only thing, that check's going to bounce and you're going to be out, you're going to lost your item and you're going to be out that extra $100. So there's social media, that's something to be aware of when you're going to be on social media, if that's your choice, that there are scams. There's catfishing. Catfishing, there's actually television shows about it. There's been a movie about it. Sometimes it might seem funny, but there are stories of people that have lost a lot of money out of it. So just throwing out some things something else is a danger. You always feel like you have to be connected. Your phone vibrates. I got a notification. Somebody's posted. I wonder what's going on. Somebody's messaged me. I wonder what's going on. And you have to be connected all the time. That actually creates anxiety. That actually makes you exhausted. So here are some of the downsides. There's drama. True? On social media? There's drama in real life, but social media seems to ramp it up a bit. And if you get sucked into it, that should actually be a problem. It's kind of like a car wreck. You're driving down the road and there's a car wreck. Who in here drives just like this? Okay, God help them. No, we're all wonder what happened over there, and you start driving toward it. Drama on social media is the same way. Somebody gets into an argument. You ever seen the emoji that the guys are sitting there eating popcorn? Yeah. Okay, a lot of people are doing that, just sitting there eating their popcorn. Oh, what's happening next? And then the next day, gotta go check that page and wonder who else got in that conversation. Is somebody arguing? Did somebody else get a little fired up? There's drama, and the human nature is just drawn right into it. It's like car wreck that you cannot ignore. Sometimes some people have to participate. Sometimes it gets a little heated. Sometimes you say things that, ooh, probably shouldn't have said that. Another thing to consider if you're wanting to have social media is people are monitoring social media. Employers are monitoring it. Brother Steve was telling me, he had an employer tell him, I've got somebody watching it. And if one of my employees is posting pictures at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we have a problem because we don't have lunch at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We don't have breaks at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's actually college recruiters that will be monitoring your social media. There was a football coach I was reading about. He actually, his assistant, his job is to monitor the football players' social media. Because the football players have not learned that if you're not careful, you're going to lose chances of being recruited based on what you're putting out there. So one college coach had signed up a player. They were all excited about it. And then they went and looked at his Twitter username. And it was very vulgar. And they said, you know what? We don't want him. It doesn't matter how good of a football player he is. We don't want him. He lost that chance because of his social media. This football coach that I read about earlier, he has begun a program that's called Pause Before You Post. His motto is, never let a 140-character tweet cost you a $140,000 scholarship. That's a pretty good program. And so how should a Christian handle social media? That's my title. A few things. Number one, what's your parents' rules and expectations? We've talked about that. Stay within those guidelines. It will be a blessing. It really will. Number two, pause before you post. Before sharing or retweeting something, pause. Think about it. Look at it. Does it have an inappropriate picture? I know somebody, they reposted somebody that I knew, and in the background was, it was just a small picture, and clear in the background was a person that was very inappropriately dressed. She didn't see it at first glance. Loved the words, loved the predominant picture that was in the front, didn't look at it real close. I know others have reposted, and the username up here was some bad words. All that shows. Sometimes there's profanity in there. And it maybe it's a long pair, you know, maybe three or four sentences, and that profanity is clear at the end, and you're reading it. That's really cool. I like it. And you just hit retweet or share. And you don't realize, oh, wow, I don't talk like that. I shouldn't be having that on my page. And there it went. Their college and the business world have a saying. It's you post it, you own it. Doesn't matter that you didn't write it initially. Doesn't matter that it's not your own words. You post it. You own it. Proverbs 17 and 27 says, he is who is smart is careful with his words. Proverbs 17 and 28 says, even a fool who doesn't say too much can be considered wise. So there's an old saying, better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. I'd say let's stick with that. I like that. Consider another viewpoint. These are some ways Christians could handle social media. Consider another viewpoint. Someone posts something and, oh man, I do not agree with that at all. That is just dumb. Why would they think that? And you want to just get right on there and argue with them. Social media is usually a place to voice your opinions. It's rarely a place to listen. Seek first to understand. Maybe, why do people think that way? Why would they, why would that be their opinion? Maybe they're speaking from past hurts. Seek first to understand. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool has no delight in understanding, only revealing his personal opinions about himself. Sounds pretty good. There's a book I read, I've read frequently, and I like this chapter. It says, choose being kind over being right. I've probably said that before in here. In our social media, choose being kind over being right. Consider the fallout. If some of your friends absolutely hate something, let's say they hate ice cream, can't stand it, makes them sick, and you know that. How are they going to feel if you're just like, vanilla ice cream and strawberry ice cream, and look at this picture, and I had it today, and it's wonderful, and people who don't like it are dumb? They're going to feel kind of attacked, aren't they? Consider the fallout. Proverbs 18:6 says, fools like to start arguments. Is it worth hurting them? Is it worth losing their friendship? What if they lost out with God? What if they became so hurt over social media posts that they lost out with God? Or they quit coming to church? Choose being kind over being right. Something else to keep in mind. Your social media makes a statement about you. What does it say about you if you post a picture of food all the time? Every meal, you're putting a picture of food on there. So, it's like, Sister Mindy obviously is a good cook. She's very artistic. It's saying something about her. It's not negative. It's saying something about her. I've seen her pictures of food. They're beautiful. Brother Russell is blessed. What does it say about you if you're always posting, look how good I am to doing today. Look how great I look. Look what I accomplished. I got an A+ on this test. I aced this. Might be a little pride. What does it say about you? What does it say about you if you're sharing photos of Adolf Hitler and Charles Manson and Jeffrey Dahmer? All these murderers. You need prayer. We're concerned. Something's wrong. It says something about you. What does it say if you're liking posts of people who use profanity, who break the law, who hate police, who rap about beating up women, who dress immodestly, who are anti-Christian? What does it say about you if you're liking those? Oh, your social media is a reflection of who you are. Social media should not be more important than real people. I've seen in the grocery store, a customer comes through the line, they're on their phone the whole time. They don't talk to the cashier, they don't talk to the bagger, they don't talk to anybody. I've been in restaurants before and I'll look across the room. Mom, dad, kids are all on their phone the whole time. Nobody's talking to each other. It's kind of sad. I'm thinking, you're missing family time. You're missing some great interactions. Social media should never be more important than people. And lastly, what does God think? Think about your social media posts, your pictures. Look at them through God's eyes. How could you use social media for good? If you have decided, you're allowed by your parents, and you've decided to have it, how could you use it for good? It can be used for good, absolutely. Words are powerful. They can be used for good or for bad. You could invite somebody to church. You could reach out to them if you see maybe they're down, they're struggling, they're having a hard time. But in closing, young people, social media can be fun and powerful, and it can be addictive. It can be positive and it can be negative. How should you as a Christian be using social media? I trust that I've challenged you just a little bit tonight. Thank you for your good attention.